The scripture says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 12, it says, lift up the hands that hang down and feeble knees. That's my heart this morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. After last night, I wonder what's to be said. Seemed like everything I thought in my message was talked about. But I trust this morning, my heart is to lift up. My heart is to share with you something that blessed me through the years. My heart is that we could be encouraged to go on, because Christ has an anchor in your soul. Christ has a price on your head. Christ has a duty for you to do. I want you to understand this morning, you have a certain place. Everyone, under the sound of my voice, has a certain place in the divine foreknowledge of God that you need to carry out. I know after our companion's gone, we wonder why, what we have left. Feel like throwing it in the towel. I did. Many a time. Feel like just throwing in the towel. I'd like to read this, the 10th verse of this chapter 41 in Isaiah. I've been blessed. When our brother asked me to speak from this chapter, I thought, what's in here from to speak about to those who have lost? But I've been blessed as I studied and see what God has for us. I'd like to start reading at verse 10. This catch the nuggets of truth in the promises here. It says, fear thou not. The first three words, fear thou not, for I am with thee. We sang here just a while ago, God will take care of you. And I was thinking here, do we believe that? Do I really believe that God is going to take care of me? Or am I just speaking words? It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. There's another promise. I am with thee. Beloved, grab these truths. I'm going to tell you a story. My first wife died with cancer, but I had taken her to the country of Greece to a doctor in Greece. And there was a young man there from Canada. And he told me, he says, I had a burnout, a spiritual burnout. I'm not sure if I understand all that. But he told me how he got over that. He said, I would read the word of God and I'd see a promise. And I'd say, that's mine. That promise is mine. And I read another promise. I said, that promise is mine. Beloved, these promises are ours to have. It says, I will be with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all that they are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I am thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a sharp a new sharp thrashing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thrash the mountains and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of waters and the dry land springs of waters. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittim tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert for the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. The hand of the Lord hath done this. Now, I got some questions I would like to ask you. It would be interesting to hear your answers, but I'm not asking you to answer. I got some questions. First of all, do we believe that the hand of the Lord hath done this, what your experience is in life? Do you believe that? Why did God take someone I love so dearly away from me? Did you ever get just a little bit angry with God? I mean, I've heard someone say, well, the Lord just jerking my chain. Did you ever talk out loud to God in your private time? Just talk out loud and tell the Lord how you feel. Did you ever do that? Did you ever get upset just a little bit at God? Get up, just upset. Did you ever say, Lord, why? Someone told me years ago, you don't ask God why. I don't believe this. I believe we can ask God why if we really want to know. Brothers and sisters, I've been in each one of these places. I've been there. I don't know what your experience is. My experience is probably different than your experience. But the first question is, do we believe, why, or do we ask, why did God take away the person I love? As I was meditating on this scripture, it seemed like the Lord showed me something that I never thought about before. If my companions that he took from me, I believe the Lord did it, the Lord caused it to happen, was a Christian, they didn't belong to me. They were lent to me. They were God's. I know when my first wife was on her deathbed, she couldn't talk. Her body was actually deteriorating inside. Her mind was clear, but the quality of life was gone. When Becky lay for years with dementia, and slowly, slowly, slowly walked away. At the end, I used to say, Lord, take her home. Take her home. She's yours. I thanked him for giving me the opportunity to take care of her. Both of these ladies were my babies. At the end of their life, they were my babies. I said I felt them many a time after they were going, like a mother lost her child. I combed their hair. I bathed them. I dressed them. I put them to bed. I got them up in the morning. I fed them their food. I made their food. They were my babies. But they belong to God. The scripture tells us that we're bought with a price. It says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is his. They were his. He died for them. They were lent to us to take care of. I would like to give that to you as a bright light in a dark experience of life. They're God's. He only took away from you and I what was his. Because he died on the cross for them. He shed his own life blood for them. They yielded their life to them. Him. So, in order to be able to go through experiences like this and come out on the right end, it takes a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. We need our lives surrendered. You know, sometimes we would just like, Lord, just take this thing away. Take it away. Take it away. Take this problem away. But one day, I don't know where I was reading something. It says, don't ask the Lord to take it away, but ask him to take you through faithfully. Did we come out on the other end of all these experiences? And it would be interesting to me to listen to all your experiences. People used to tell me, well, you understand what they're going through. No, I don't. Your experience is special to you. My experience was special to me. Our experiences are different. But Lord, take us through faithfully. That's my prayer for myself. And I trust that could be your prayer too. That you could be faithful until the end. We can meet our loved ones in glory someday. Glory someday. A surrendered life is not an easy life. God doesn't promise us flowery beds of ease. He doesn't promise easy roads. And you know, he doesn't promise them an easy way. But he's promised us grace for today. Give you some years ago, we have a neighbor. My wife and I were halfway to Florida, and I got a telephone call. We stopped at a rest area, and my phone rang. It was my neighbor. It was Rocky. Rocky Novinick was his name. He lived right next to us, and he still does. And Rocky was crying. I said, Rocky, what's wrong? He says, Pop, his 14-year-old grandson had hung himself. Well, I was way down the road, and I said, call my son Stephen. And Stephen lived pretty close to him, and it wasn't long, Stephen called me back. He said, Pop, you got to come home. They want you to have the funeral. What do you preach at a funeral where a 14-year-old boy hung himself? I'm going to tell you what I preached. I told him about a friend that I have, and his name is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that friend who is Jesus is your friend. He's your Lord and Savior. He was the one, many a day, I would have to tell myself, God, Jesus, the Lord knows what I'm going through right now. And it would take me through one more day. The realization that he knows what I'm experiencing. And he takes me through faithfully. Brothers and sisters, let's be faithful to the Lord. Jesus is that friend who will see you through. Take his hand, Matthew says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I just when I read that verse, it just, somebody who wasn't here was talking about the stars in the sky, and the hand reached out. I just see Christ holding his hand out to each one of you, widows and widowers, saying, take my hand. Take it. Follow me. Walk with me. And I will walk with you through this experience. He wants you to hold his hand. Now, don't be like the little, you know, our children, they're small. We walk alongside and they'll grab your finger and run along with you for a while, and after a while they'll let it go and they'll run ahead. But what does a parent do when a child comes, when you come with this child to a busy crossroads? You get a hold of their hand. Why? To take them safe from here to there. And that's what you need to allow the Lord, is to hold your hand. Don't just grab it and let go, grab it and let go. Let him hold your hand to see you safely through. Brothers and sisters, cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast to him, and he will see you through. He wants our dependency. He wants us to depend on him. I said something about a surrendered life. Have you surrendered all to Christ? I preached at home a week or so ago on the surrendered life. Have you surrendered your children? You've lost your companions, but have you surrendered them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your all to him? A surrendered life will help to carry you through. When we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we put our lives in his hand because we trust him. And his desire is to lead you. His desire is to guide you. His desire is to bring you through these experiences. God has not done this to hurt you. God still has a responsibility for him, for each one of you to do. What's that responsibility? There's a lot of people out there in this old world that's not saved yet. Did you ever think of yourself as a missionary? How many people you could help? I heard a lot yesterday about doing something for somebody. Live a life, brothers and sisters, to share the love of Christ with every person you meet. Share it with them. Become a testimony of love to them. We live in the mountains of West Virginia. The mountain people there are just a little different than what a lot of people are. We love those people, and they love us. Years ago, my boys and I had a business. We had 60 boys working for us. Young men, druggies, broken homes, DUIs, you name it. They're my boys. We go to town. These boys holler at me. Pop, what you doing? How you doing? My wife laughs. She says, who's that? I said, I don't know, but I know you work for us. The reason is we prayed with them. They come to us in the morning and they would say, you know, they had this problem and everything. They wonder if we would pray for them. We'd take them, if it didn't suit me, my boys would take them in the office and we'd pray with them. We loved them. I could tell them anything. And they'd take it off of me because they knew that I loved them. They knew I cared for them. I could tell them they're drinking too much. And they'd say, oh, no, no, no. I said, wait, no, no, don't tell me that. I smelled it when you walked past me. What I'm trying to say is, it's not my experience that's special, but you, each one, have a claim on your life to share the love of Christ with somebody. It puts purpose into life. It makes life worth living. When you see the light shine in somebody else's eyes, it makes life worth living. It brings beauty. Yesterday, I believe his brother John said something about what's beautiful in ashes, but it says it brings beauty. You know, in ashes, we have a boy that used to work for us, and he turned back into sin again, and he was just baptized the other Sunday. He lost half of his feet by walking without clothes on in single-digit weather. No shoes, no pants, no shirt, only shorts. He froze his feet in his walking in snow. But God got hold of him. His testimony the other morning before he was baptized, he says, somebody did not give up on him. There's many out there, beloved. Your responsibility is to carry that beautiful picture to the world out there. I know you might say, well, what's this have to do with a widow's retreat? Sometimes we go through life and we just feel like the end's here, but we're still alive. What am I good for? Why am I still here when our companions are gone? It's to carry the message of salvation to some soul. That's what it's about. That's what life's for. Beloved, take the challenge. It's Hebrews, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called in all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's our calling. That's our responsibility that must be carried out. By who? The preachers? No. By you. By you. It puts purpose in your life. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Don't be afraid to get pushed out of your comfort zone.
Don't be afraid.
God will help you. He will put the words in your mouth. I remember years ago, there was a man met me outside of Walmart. And he started telling me about his life, how wicked he was, and how terrible things he did in his life. And I said, well, the Lord can forgive you. Oh, he said, you were never bad. I said, my sins were just as bad as your sins. And he saved me. He can save you. I think of Brother John Mass at Crossville, Tennessee. He always says, instead of out in a candle, light a light. That's what our calling is, to light a light. We are the light of the world. It is Christ shining through us. Not us. The light's not us. It's shining through us. And the world is not going to read this book. It's going to read your life. And it wants to see this book lived in your life. That's what he wants to see. He wants to see it done. Shoe leather experience. He wants to see it. May God help us to do that. You know the trees here. It says the trees here is a sign of strength. You know, it says he puts water in the desert. You know, you think, well, I can't do it. I'm a slow, you know, I can't talk, and you know, other people can, but I can. But this here says that he's going to put teeth in the threshing instrument. He'll give you teeth to put in it. Be real. That's what I think of the teeth. Be real. That instrument our brother had up here yesterday, it was real. It had teeth on it. And that's what the Lord wants you and I to have. He wants us to be real. People don't want false, just a bunch of talk. He wants real. They want to hear the real story just as it is. That's what you and I are called to. Why? It's because Christ lives within us. And we have something to give. We have something to give. If we keep it, we lose it. If we give it away, it will multiply. It will multiply. There's blessings beyond. Blessings beyond. Yes, I lost two good wives, beautiful women. But when they passed away, they weren't beautiful no more. Their beauty was gone. My first wife had a big lump on the side of her face. I'm going to tell you something here that I don't tell very often. The Lord gave me a dream. I saw her on the streets of gold with a perfect face. It blessed my heart. Perfect face. Her face was beautiful. I don't live much for dreams, but that was good to me. That was special. Yes. And I trust this morning that as you think back to your companion that you lost, think about that God come down and he chose this person here I want in my army. And your Father, Heavenly Father, is at the right hand of the Father. He's saying, God, I paid for this man, this woman. I paid for them. You know, when Stephen was stoned, it says that Jesus was standing. It's the only place in the scripture it says he was standing at the right hand of the Father. He was interested in what was going on the earth. Brothers and sisters, the other morning in our devotions at home, we were reading in John, the book of John, and where Lazarus died. And it says there, whenever Jesus saw Lazarus, the weeping of Mary and Martha, what did he do? It says he wept. We see the heart of our Savior. His heart is tender towards each one of you. Yes, the scripture says special for the widows. It says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Yes. Sisters, you have a special place in God's order. Brethren, stand up to the test of your calling in Christ Jesus. Take courage. Don't say, I can't. I can't as a sluggard, too lazy to work. You can. Why? It's because we have the strength of God on our side. Not only the strength of God, but we have the power of God. The power of God on our side to help us. Brothers and sisters, I trust that the Lord would give you courage and strength to be faithful. It says the Lord is doing this. I got one other point I want to make. Almost forgot. You know, it says the Lord has done this. It says 151 times in Isaiah that I am the Lord. And it says 126 times in Isaiah and Jeremiah that the Lord has done it. That was interesting to me. Why does it say it so many times? I've been reading through the Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel in my personal devotions, and I've been taking notes. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. We forget. He wants us to understand, I am the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord, and he's doing it. And he wants to use you and I to do it. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And remember, we have that friend, and that friend is Jesus. And he will see us through. May God bless you, each one.